You know, over the years, I've got quite a few books, but I never sat down and wrote one of them. How I get my books is that I teach the lessons, and they take them and edit them and put them into a book. And so I was thinking, back at the beginning of the year, that many of those messages I preached one time, and they put them in a book, and I haven't preached them since or taught on them or anything. And I was praying, and the Lord said, that's some really good material that you have. So I've been going back and looking in my books and saying, and they got some good stuff in there. In fact, I have a book called It's Your Move, and that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. John 1:12, and then 1 Corinthians 4:7. If they want a title, sometimes they want a title for your message. It's Your Move Received from God would be a good title for this one. All right, John 1:12 and 1 Corinthians 4:7. They've moved my clock. It used to be right back. Oh, they moved it over there. Okay. I don't know what happened.
Fire marshal.
Okay. Whatever. We're having to change some things at the Broken Arrow campus because of the fire marshal came in, and we got to change. We used to have parts of the building open for prayer and part of it not, and now they're making us change. And so we're going to have prayer in another place because we got to either have every door in that place open or have them all locked. They can't be some of them not locked and some of them unlocked. So we had to do some adjustments. But you just adjust and go on, amen? That's what we do. John 1:12, but as many as received, I want you to look at that word received him. To them gave he the right to become the children of God and those who believe in his name. Now, 1 Corinthians 4:7 in the New King James says, for who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? There's that word receive again. Now, if you did indeed receive it, there it is again, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Now, I want to go read that in the NLT, New Living Translation, because we get a little better understanding. For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? Now, in these scriptures, we see here the word received several different times. And so there's an emphasis on receiving. Okay, now, you're at home, there's a knock on the door, or they ring a doorbell, and there's a FedEx man, a UPS man, or maybe even the mailman, and they're standing there with a big package in their arms, and so they say, hey, this is a gift for you, but you you have to sign this document that says you received it. Okay, now, all you did to get that package was receive it. That's all you had to do is receive it. You know, we need to learn about obtaining God's blessings. Receiving from God is not subtracting. It's adding. You know, we have to learn to take what belongs to us or receive it. You know, some people, and I heard it when I was growing up in some of the churches, they say, well, if you quit doing this and you quit doing that and you quit doing the other, then you get saved. In fact, a lady told her husband this, and finally the man went to the pastor and he said, listen, she don't know it, but I've tried to quit those things, and so I guess I never can get saved. And the wise pastor said, you don't have to give up anything to accept to be saved. All you have to do is receive Jesus. You know, now, just as many as received him gave him the power. He gave them the power. you can't do anything in your own strength. You can't live for God in your own strength. The power to overcome comes since you receive the free gift of salvation. Receive. Turn to your neighbor and say, receive. See, it's not giving up anything. It's receiving something. You know, you can't give up a life of sin until you receive him as Savior. You can't give up sickness and disease until you receive him as healer. Y'all there? Y'all going home already? You can't give up poverty and material want until you receive him as your provider. It all comes back to receiving from him what he has already said it belongs to us. You know, it's right here. He's already said all this belongs to us. All we have to do is receive it. You know, now there's some people saying, oh, if I can get enough people praying. Well, praise God for people praying, but that's not the answer. Just because you get a bunch of people praying for you is no sign anything's going to happen. You have to learn to receive it. You know, now I'm not minimizing prayer. Man, we need prayer, that's for sure. Now, okay, say that somebody walks up and gives you some, you know, holds out some money to you. All right. I'm going to go right over here to Nathan, and I'm going to hold out a dollar bill. Now, I'm holding out this dollar bill right here, and I've already told you, this is yours. You can have it. But until he receives it, it just stays there. Come on. Now, he received the dollar bill. How simple was that? Simply lifting his hand and receiving it. Did you know that's how easy it is to receive from God? Amen. He's already said right here. How many of you have ever read the Bible? How many of you have read that by his stripes we were healed? Huh? How many of you have read that all our needs are met according to his riches in Christ Jesus? Huh? How many of you read in Isaiah, no weapon formed against me shall prosper? We've read all of those. They're there. But they're just words on a piece of paper until you receive them to yourself. Just like he received that. Now, he's sitting there with that dollar bill in his hand. It's his. I gave it to him. Now, what if he begins to say to me, oh, Pastor Hagin, please, can I spend this dollar? Oh, I know you gave it to me, but can I have it? Can I really use it? You'd think something's the matter with him, right? But do you know what? That's the way we treat what God has already told us that is ours. Are y'all thinking or are y'all just sitting there? God has already blessed us. And Peter says he's already given to us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Over there, Peter wrote that. We've already had it. He said, I want you to John 10:10, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. I like another translation that says, have it to the full. That's what he wants for us, but we have to receive it. You know, how many of you have ever played checkers? Let's see. I got a few people that didn't lift their hand, but how many have ever played a board game where you have to, one person moves and the other person moves? All right. You know, playing checkers, you know, with my grandfather. I was a kid, and I might get distracted, and he'd say, Ken, it's your move. Or Wayne. He called me Wayne. That's him and my uncle, my mother's brother. That was my mom's dad. Pawpaw and Uncle Guy, the only two they called me Wayne. That's the only two people ever called me that. And after Grandpa died, then Uncle Guy, and when he went, nobody else did, so I didn't let him do it. And then I had a cousin, my cousin George, he called me Quinlan. I have no earthly idea, but that's what he called me. But, you know, it's the same thing. God is saying to us, like if you're playing checkers and you may be looking away doing something, and he'll say to you, it's your move. God is saying to us, it's your move. I've already moved. See, whenever the other person tells you it's your move, he is saying or she is saying, I have moved. Now it's your move. God has already moved right here. He's moved right here in the Word of God. This is his move. Now it's up to us to make our move and receive what God said belonged to us. How many of you believe that? Amen. You see, it's not going to fall on you. You're going to have to receive it. You know, if you keep moving, God will keep moving. As long as you move, God moves. Hello. Now, you know, some people say, well, so-and-so was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, or, you know, or somebody was born in the wrong side of town or the ghetto or whatever you call it. And, you know, and I'm sorry to say that many cities have places like that. And, in fact, Brother Clinton Utterbach, one of our Rhema students that are ministers, he's going to be with the Lord now. He had a church in New York, right out of New York City. And he was from that New York City. And he took me down there and he said, I want to show you something interesting. And we drove down the street and he said, now when we get to this certain intersection, oh man, this is all nice houses and apartments and businesses and everything. But he said, now when we see that intersection coming up, he said, when we cross that intersection, you're going to think you went into another town. And we went across that intersection. It was stores boarded up, houses falling down. It looked like a war zone, you know. And, you know, I want to compare that with us. Now, you have, so now I want to, you know, we got this side of the street and this side of the street. This side of the street looks like a war zone. This side of the street is really nice. Now, a guy on this side of the street is talking to the guy over there and say, hey, come on over here. I'll give you a job. I'll give you a car. I'll give you a house. I'll give you everything you need to live. And this guy over here in the war zone, he said, no, I think I'll just stay over here. I got a little bit of bread and water. I can make it. You'd think, this guy's crazy. Hello? How many understand what I'm saying to you? You know, sometimes I wonder if God thinks that about us, because he's over here on this side saying, hey, come on over here. I got everything you need to have a good life. And you're still standing over there. See, you can stay over there and still be born again. You can be born again and not ever receive any of the benefits. Hello? Just like, I'm born into the Hagin family. Now, I'm a Hagin. Whether I ever receive any of the benefits of being in the Hagin family, it's up to me. It's not up to anybody else. It's up to me to take advantage of what belongs to it. Just like as a U.S. citizen, it's up to us to take advantage of what belongs to us because of the freedom that's been bought by us, by people like myself and others that were willing to wear the uniform of this country and take an oath to protect the freedom of this country at all costs. Glenn there was a Marine. He's done it. Greg was a Marine. He's done it. How many of you guys have taken that oath? Look at the guys with their hands up. They've taken that oath to protect this country. Hello. We need to realize that it doesn't make any difference what's going on. We have already we can receive what belongs to us as a U.S. citizen because people like these that raised their hand and even myself were willing to wear that uniform. God has, through Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, has already given to us the opportunity to receive everything we need but it's up to us to get it. It's your move. Hello? You know, just like I said, you can be born again and live in poverty. You can be born in the United States and never take advantage of any of the privileges that belong to you. See, God has his best for you. All you've got to do is receive it. I heard a story about a guy. He told a man, he said, hey, you be at the street corner of such and such streets at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I'm going to be there with a brand new car and I'm going to give it to you. It'll be yours. Well, another fellow heard this and he said, hey, you know, that's too good to be true. Nobody's going to give you a new car. And say that was you. And a fellow told you, you know, to be at, I don't know this city, but this corner out here, whatever it is, Northwest Expressway, and I don't know what this, County Line. Okay, you be here at 3 o'clock. Now your family says, ah, nah, man, you know, nobody going to give you that. You know, the other church members here tell you, no, I wouldn't do that if I was you. He's probably promised people stuff before, hadn't given it to them. You know. Now, I want to ask you a question. If somebody told you that, would you be out there tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock? If somebody told you to be at that corner tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, he's going to give you a brand new car, how many of you would be there? Yeah. Because what have you got to lose? Right? Just a little bit of time, maybe. And look at what you got to gain. You know, that's what God's saying to us all the time. What have we got to lose if we just step out and start receiving what belongs to us through this word right here? The word of God, God's word. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. You know, I mean, if you didn't go down there, somebody would think you're crazy. You know. It's not hard to receive. It's very simple. You just take it. I gave him a dollar. And it was the simplest thing in the world to receive it. He just had to take it. That dollar's yours. Put it in your pocket. Don't leave it laying out there. No, I don't want it back. Oh, you're going to give it to the church? All right, that's good. Hey, this morning I gave one of those grads $5, one of those high. We had high school, we honored all our high school grads today at the BA campus and gave them all a Bible and had them walk across the stage. What was it, about 30 of them, I think, something like that? Huh? I think it was 25. And I gave him $5, but I only had a dollar, so you just got a dollar. And I told him, I said, you can do whatever you want to with it, but hey, it might be nice if you put it back in the offering. No, I did say that, but then I told him, no, you go use it, one of those seniors. You see, it is not difficult to receive. But it seems that sometimes ministers and church people and different people try to make it hard to receive from God. They want to put you through all kinds of rigmaroles and all kinds of situations and do this, do that, don't do this, do that. Well, now, there's such a thing as living right, okay? You got to live right. You can't just go do whatever you want to, but it's a lot of do's and don'ts. And, you know, to receive from God, you don't have to do anything except receive it. He's offering it to you. Salvation is a free gift. All of these things are offered to us. But we have to take them. See, how many of you are born again in this room right now? How many of you are born again? All you had to do was receive it, right? You didn't have to work for it. You didn't have to do nothing for it. Now, you know, now once we get in the family of God, it's sort of like being in a family. In a family, everybody has chores. They do certain things. So in the family of God, the Word of God talks about working in the family, doing different things, but you're not working for your salvation. You're working because you're part of the family. You know, I mean, me and my sis, She's 19 months younger than me. We always had to do, after the supper, we used to call it supper. How many of you remember when it used to be supper? And now you call it dinner, right? It used to be breakfast, dinner, and supper, right? Yeah. You know, it used to be personnel department. Now it's the human relations department if you're going to go get a job. Human resources, yes, whatever. You know, it used to be shipping and receiving, and now it's the distribution center. You ever notice how things change names? It's not any different. It's just changed the name. I don't know. Sometimes I think we strain at nets and swallow whatever. Okay. You know, in moving with God and taking this our move and going out and receiving, sometimes people get the idea that, well, you don't have to do, you know, you don't have to live right. Well, now you got to live right. You got to live in line with God's word. Because if I said, you know, you don't do this, don't do that, people say, well, now he's getting on the wrong side. No, I'm talking about people saying to receive from God, you have to do certain things. To receive from God, you don't have to do anything except receive from him. Okay, now I will grant you, if you read the word of God, you'll find that there's some things you need to do. Just like it's being part of the family, you need to do your part in the family, okay? And there's some things you don't need to do, okay? But we got to keep moving on with God and keep believing God and move on. And as we move, God moves with us. He moves, we move. That's the way the checker game is played. Move, 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 move. See, now, it's your move. What are you going to do about receiving everything that belongs to you from God? First of all, you can't earn these. Now, they're free gifts. You can't earn them. He's already purchased them for them. Now, in a family sometimes, you can earn a gift. How many of you have ever had parents or somebody tell you, grandpa, somebody, now if you do such and such, I'm going to do this for you. Anybody ever had that? Now that's earning it. That's earning it. But God has just, he's written it here in his word, and he says, it's yours. So all you have to do is receive it. You see, that's sort of like, you know, back when Craig was what, 8, I think, and we started riding. I started riding first, off road motorcycles, and it's enduro. They call it enduros. You ride, you know, you ride through the woods and all of that. You don't ever ride on the highway, and so I got him a little KDX 80, Kawasaki KDX 80. And he said, is it really mine? Is that really mine? See, he couldn't believe that he was getting that motorcycle. I said, yeah, it's yours. It's yours. Mom and I got it for you. It's yours. See, that's the way God is. God's given us stuff, and we're standing here saying, is that really mine? Can I really ride that? Come on. It's our move. It was his move. It's his. There it is. All he's got to do is go out there and get on it and kick the starter. And he did. And he drove around the backyard. And on Christmas Eve, we always did our gifts on Christmas Eve. And he's riding. It's about 12 o'clock midnight. And he's riding around the backyard. I don't know what the neighbors thought. But he's riding that motorcycle round and round in that backyard. Because that was his. And he received it. And he's enjoying it. Now that's what we need to do. God has already, he's saying, here it is. We can receive it and start enjoying it, okay? Now I've been talking about the do's. Do this, do that. You know, I want to call that the do Christians. The do and don't Christians. That's their classification, you know. And The only way you're going to receive from God is do this and don't do this and do this and don't do that and do this and don't do that. Well, I want to talk about another group. I want to talk about being a part of the done group. Okay? Now, let me go back and say, there are certain things, according to the Word of God, that you do and you don't do. Okay, we all know that, so I don't think I have to go down that road. Okay? But the done group. You got the do's and don't group over here and the done group. This group over here is always complaining and talking about what they don't have. And you don't do this, you got to do this, you got to do that. Most of them are unhappy. Then you come over here on this side. This is the done group. And these people over here are happy and enjoying life because they know that Jesus already done it for them. It's already done. It's a done deal. They living on the done side over here instead of over there on that side. That's the same as the guy over there on the look like a war zone and the guy over here on the good side of the street. He's saying, come on over. I got everything good for you. No, I think I'm going to stay over here. See, it's our move. It's not up to God. It's not up to God. He's already done all he's going to do about blessing us and giving us everything we need in the spiritual, emotional, financial, physical, every area of our life. He has already done it. So get over here on the done side. Jesus has already done it for you. All we have to do is believe it and receive it. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's your move. See, that's where it is. It's our move. You know, I actually, when we walk on the done side, it's accepting what Jesus has already done for you. In fact, he has already done for you something incredible. And that is, he has given you the power of attorney. Now, sometime before Dad went home to be with the Lord, him and Mama came to me with a document, and I signed this document, and they gave me the power of attorney. If something happened to one of them, I had the power of attorney. If something happened to Dad, I had the power of attorney to take care of all the things and take care of Mom and so forth and so on. And that is the same as him doing it. Jesus has given us his authority, his power. That's again, a power of attorney gives me or whoever it is that has been given the power of attorney. They have been given the power as if it was that individual. Jesus has already said, he's told us, he said, I have the power. Now I have given that power to you. I'm going to paraphrase it, but that's exactly what the word says. In fact, he told his disciples there in John, he said, up to now, you haven't asked for anything in my name. After I'm gone, here he is giving the power of attorney. He said, after I'm gone away, you ask in my name, and the Father will do it. That's the power of attorney right there. There it is. That's where it's at, right there. See, he's telling us, actually, when we ask it, and that's why it's important to end your prayer within the name of Jesus, because when you say that, to far as God is concerned, that's Jesus asking for it. Amen. That's Jesus asking for it. How many understand where I'm coming from on this? Amen. You know, how many of you, as you began to realize all you had to do is receive, how many of you, things begin to change for you? You know, we used to sing a song, something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I've had the privilege, and still, in fact, I'll be, end of this month, we'll be going to Ireland. I'll be ministering in Ireland on Sunday the 29th, is it? What is that? I don't know. In fact, 29th, yes. I'll be ministering in Ireland. Y'all can pray for me, okay? But y'all still have somebody here. Somebody will be here to minister to you, probably Craig. Craig loves to come and minister over here. He said, I love my Oklahoma City people. He loves to come and minister over here at this church. He, he, he really calls this his church. He says, you're just my helper, is what he tells me. I hope y'all enjoy Craig as much as he enjoys you guys. He was a little bit bummed today because he wasn't going to get to come and be at the fellowship. I told him, I said, well, hey, you've been going pretty strong. You need to rest. You need to rest. But I had the privilege of traveling overseas. And, excuse me. So as I go over there, this was back in for my first trip to Kenya in 1978, wasn't it? Yes. I preached to them and I had a minister's conference with Brother Silas Owiti that I'd met through Brother T.L. Osborne. You see, my dad was in the Voice of Healing with all those people. Any of those people that you want to name back from back in the 50s and that healing revival, I know them personally. Remember, I was 9 years old till I was 18. And growing up and traveling and being all over, I knew all those guys, you know. So Brother T.L. had introduced me to Brother Silas Owiti, and so I went over there, and I was doing a minister's conference. And I talked to them about, hey, God's already done it for you. All you have to do is receive it. And I talked about who they are in Christ and so forth. And this all has to, in fact, I did In Christ here last year sometime. But it's up to us to receive. We get born again, but then we have to receive because of who we are in Christ. And I taught all of this to them. And I had the privilege of going back 2 years later. And one of the ministers, Brother Joseph, he's one of the main ministers. And he took me outside and said, oh, boy, I want to show you something. He was so excited. And he took me outside and he showed me and he had a motorcycle. He said, man, before you taught me about receiving what belonged to me, I was riding a bicycle. Now, to him, to get that motorcycle, it'd be like you getting a Cadillac or something. You know, we got to realize prosperity to different people is different things. Then he took me to his house, you know, and I had been to his house before. It was a place sitting out there and had a big tree beside of it. It looked good. And I said, well, you planted some more stuff. And, oh, he said, no, something else is different. Why can you see it? And I said, well, no, because see, I didn't know. And he said, my roof, I got a tin roof. I don't have a thatched grass roof. I got a tin roof. I mean, to have a tin roof on his house was prosperity. He said, I learned that God already has it for me. All I got to do is receive it. Amen. Hello. Amen. Come on now. We need to learn to receive, you know. You may be scraping the bottom of the barrel, but if you'll begin to read God's word and get a hold of what God said, you can begin to receive blessing. You know, and they come in many different ways, many different forms. So I've watched people over the years in ministry. I've watched people as they begin to get a hold of the fact that God has already offered it to them. All they have to do is receive it. You know, it's sort of like sitting down at a table. You can sit down at a table with food there. And you could die sitting at that table. There's food there, all kinds of food. And you could die of malnutrition if you never received any of it. Am I right or wrong? You can't say the food's not there. You got the food, but you're going to have to do something about receiving it. You're going to have to pick up a spoon and begin to eat some of it or something. Well, hello, come on now. See, that's where we are with God. He has spread a table. In fact, we used to sing an old song back there when I was growing up, and even when I was a minister, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. He has a table. You can eat at Jesus' table all the time, come and dine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. In other words, hey, he spread the table. It's there. If you get anything, you have to go receive it. You know, when I was growing up, go out to Grandpa and Grandma's place, And I said, Grandma, I'm hungry. And she said, go in there. It's in the kitchen. It's sitting there. Go in there and get it. There's some biscuits and sausage sitting in there. There's leftover from breakfast. I set it there because I figured you'd be coming in here hungry in a little while, you know. I mean, I could have went outside, told Pawpaw, I'm hungry. I want something to eat. I don't have nothing to eat. I'm hungry. And he would say, well, didn't your grandma tell you that to go there in the kitchen, there's some biscuits and sausage, go get one. You see, that's what God has told us. Hey, here's your blessings. Here's everything you need for life. Here's everything you need to help you be what you need to be. But you're going to have to go. I had to go in that kitchen, and I had to get me a biscuit and break it open, put the sausage in the middle, put it back together, and eat it. I had to do that. She got up that morning, and she had already cooked it and made the biscuits and everything. Because Grandma, Grandma made it every day. She made biscuits the hard way, you know, kneading it in there, you know. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. These young kids, they don't know nothing about biscuits like that. In fact, was it Craig? We were down at my mother-in-law's father-in-law's, and grandmother, she was going to, he's about in the seventh grade, and she got up and she made biscuits, you know, and because he loves biscuits and gravy. And what did he say to her?
Did you run out of the canned
biscuits? Oh, say, grandmother, did you run out of those canned biscuits? I like them better. That probably wasn't a good thing to say, but, you know, but kids nowadays, they don't know, what's good and what's not good. Oh, that's another subject, isn't it? See, all of you have learned to receive. How many of you have learned to receive? How many of you realize that you have to keep receiving? You have to keep receiving, or the enemy will take it away from you. The word receive here means, this word receive means to take, grasp, embrace, seize, catch as one would capture a prize. We need to seize, grab a hold of the promises of God and receive them. And we have to grit our teeth and say, Mr. Devil, you're not going to take my blessings away from me. They belong to me. I'm going to take them. I'm going to receive them. I'm going to enjoy life. And there's nothing you can do about it. Hello. See, God is ready to bless you. He's ready to meet your every need. In fact, he's already met it right here. All you have to do is receive it. It's your move. Father, today I tried to stir up these people to get into them the idea that it's time to receive. You have already done everything that needs to be done about them receiving. Father, help them to get a hold of this. And may they begin to reach out and receive what belongs to them. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if there happens to be anyone in this place tonight that needs Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or that needs to rededicate their life to God, they know what it is, but you know it's not exactly where you should be. Or you may be like a lot of people that I talk to. They go to church every Sunday, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those invitations, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. Anybody right now. All right, I see a hand. Thank you. We believe in receiving the Holy Spirit according to what the Bible says, not church creed or doctrine, but the Bible. The Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And anybody here say, I'd like to be filled with the Spirit tonight. Everybody stand, please. If you raised your hand on any invitation, I would ask you to come to the front. I want to pray with you right now. Come on. Come on right now. God bless you, man. Reach your hands out toward this brother. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that every spiritual need in this life will be met tonight, and he won't leave here like he came, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you just go with Brother Glenn right here to a special place of prayer where you can be dealt with individually, in depth. Receive. Make sure you get what you come to receive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you be seated again, please? We're going to receive communion. Now, in this church, we believe in open communion. Many churches believe in closed communion. If you're not a part of that church, then you can't partake. We believe in open communion. As long as you know that you are born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we welcome you to partake of communion with us. But before we do, let me read some words from Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Starting verse 23, if you want to try to follow me. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you can proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." If our ushers would come now, we will pass out the elements. As you receive them, would you please just everyone hold their elements until everyone has been served? And then we'll all partake together. While they are passing the elements, they're going to be singing. So you be singing with them and worshiping God and thanking God for what he has done for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. Let us sing and worship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We hold in our hand a cup with a little bit of grape juice in it, a little wafer. These represent, they are not, but they represent the shed blood and the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. His body was beaten and broken for our physical healing. He shed his blood for our salvation. As we partake of these tonight, let us remember our salvation and what he has done for us. If you happen to need healing, as we break this bread and eat it, you say, "I'll take healing to my body right now in the name of Jesus." Shall we break and eat? Shall we drink together? Each one in your own way for just a moment. Thank you, Lord, for what he's done for you. Father, we thank you for Jesus. And thank you for what he's done for us. All that he's given to us, Father. All the blessings. All the times you protected us, Lord, and my family. Oh, I thank you, Father. Give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because you're alive and well. We have all the blessings that belong to us, and I thank you for it. I give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody shake hands with people and be friendly. I don't know whether there's any of those desserts left out there or not. Oh, they are. Oh, there's Melinda's saying, come on. There's out there, there's desserts left. Hey, go out and get the coffee and eat and fellowship. I'm going to go back to the door and shake hands with y'all. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next Sunday night right here. God bless.